These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
All right, Judd, let's go into the Twitter mentions here after last night's Timberwolves game against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
We're gonna roll up our sleeves and we're going to wade our way into the Twitter mentions here.
All right.
This one's from E. Pemberton. E. Pemberton chimes in and says, close only counts with horseshoes and hand grenades.
Well, that's a huge cliche. I'd like to see it freshened up a little bit. I'd like to see something newer than that. That's old school right there.
Horseshoes and I don't care what you thought you saw last night. Maybe we need to amend it to close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and when you're playing the defending champions, missing your 3-star 7-footers. Then I think we can say close counts. If you come a 3-pointer away from tying it and going to overtime, I'm going to put that in the category with horseshoes and hand grenades going forward.
That was a hell of a lot more competitive game than I expected, that's for sure. That was a fun game to watch. I watched that game and the Wild, and I'll tell you, that game was a lot of fun to watch. And you know what? I know he didn't score in the fourth quarter, but Ant Edwards, man, like the one thing about all of these guys being out is it just provides like if you need clarity on his worth on how good this guy is, it just provides clarity. Like he is doing things now. You can see his game. This is super cool because I feel like we're seeing him go from being a really good, you know, star player to a superstar when you watch him now, because like you see the progression.
Yeah.
And we talked about this when Kat had the meniscus surgery too. Like this is his time to basically shine, right? Like this is Ant's time. Like you're either going to really step up here or it's going to be, no, I need Kat. And there is no question, man, this guy has stepped up in a huge way.
And it's not necessarily in the way that instinctually you would feel the need to step up if you're him, where, okay, especially last night. So Kat's out. Kat's been out for, 7 games now. Naz Reid has been the secondary offensive option, and he has actually stepped into the Cat role and filled in very admirably with 44% 3-point shooting in the last couple weeks and 20 points a game with more minutes. But he's unavailable last night, concussion, after getting, you know, flopped upside the head. So your instinct might be, all right, well, let's see here. So our starting lineup is going to be Jaden and Kyle and Nikhil Conley. And we're going to get like 22 minutes of Luka Garza, TJ Warren. We're going to dust him off again. I'm going to shoot 40 times tonight. Might be your instinct. I think that's what Kobe did for a couple of years when Shaq left. And all right, I guess I don't trust any of these guys, so I'm just going to score 80 points tonight. I'm going to shoot the ball 100 times, right? And Anthony Edwards came in and said sort of the opposite. You know, he still led the team with 26 shots, and the next closest was Jaden McDaniels. But instead of saying, well, if we're going to beat the Denver Nuggets tonight without Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert playing defense, and Karl-Anthony Towns, I'm going to shoot 38 times. He said, I'm going to get other guys involved. I'm going to get the ball moving around. I'm going to get open looks in the corner for Jaden McDaniels so he can score 26 points. Mike Conley, going to get him some open looks. He didn't have a great game last night. But that was the most impressive thing to me with Anthony Edwards is, it wasn't rising up saying, I'm going to go 1-on-5 for 2.5 hours and see how we come out on the other side. It was, I'm going to try and elevate whoever's playing, whatever the rotation looks like. How many open threes did he get? Luka Garza? Now, Luka Garza clanked about 4 wide open threes.
Don't rip on Luka.
I'm not. He also had probably his best game in terms of
on threes. Yeah, yep. Come on, second half.
It was 2-for-6, right? It was 2-for-8. You're right. He missed a
2-for-8. 2-for-8.
But I think it was his best game, all things considered, because my God, you're going to go play 22 minutes and you're going to be guarding one of the greatest players of all time for a large chunk of that. So kudos to Luka Garza. But Anthony Edwards being the playmaker that he was last night,
yep,
and getting other guys involved was one of the most impressive games, I think, of the season, considering the circumstances for him.
And that's my point to a certain degree. We're seeing him dominate games in different ways now. Like, he's not just, it's not just, because we've seen him attempt to play hero ball at times and it doesn't work, right? But this is a credit to his basketball intelligence. He figures it out. And so, yeah, last night to me was incredibly impressive. You certainly don't want those three guys out for a long time, and you'd like to get at least two of the three back. That being said, I think last night was a very eye-opening experience. Like, you think about the Timberwolves, right? Through the years. As a guy who saw the first game, the first home game, yeah, you think about this club. And then you think about what Ant is doing and what he can do. And down to this, this team, if there's a comparison that I can draw between KG and Ant, it's this. And I think it's valuable. The energy that those guys bring to teams is incredible. Like Ant, and I don't know if fans like this or not. I love it. But when Ant is clearly just having a great time, and he's competitive as hell. So, like, he's nasty, but he's having a great time. But, you know, you're down last night. You easily, it's a back-to-back. It's the defending champions, to your point. You easily could have shown up and been like, all right, we won two against the Jazz on the road, 4-2 on the trip.
Let's punt just, this one. Yeah.
Let's hang back here and not be concerned about it. And Ant, down to that last shot, what's he doing? He's bringing this energy to the building, not just his team, to the building. That is absolutely incredible. It's a winning. It's almost like this is what a team like the Wolves needs to forget all of the bad things from being the Wolves, if that makes sense.
I love the theme that you hit on here because we've talked about it before. There's a certain hard to quantify aspect of the NBA and college basketball too, but like particularly the NBA, where like in baseball, the crowd doesn't really matter. Like, you can frazzle a pitcher a little bit, but if the crowd's getting riled up, it doesn't help a hitter focus or help a hitter hit a 93-mile-an-hour slider off the edge or something. And it's great. Like, I want the crowd to be active, and I want the crowd to be engaged. And we did see, I guess, the Twins fans did fluster Blue Jays pitchers a little bit. But
playoff games can be a little bit of a different situation, but I get your point.
But by and large, you're not like hulking up and you're not feeding off the energy.
A regular season game too. Like last night in baseball, it's 10,000 fans and hey, we're here.
Yes. And in the NFL, crowd does matter for a lot of different reasons, but it's 11-on-11 and there's like a quarterback is going to be the most influential, but there's a lot of things that need to happen like on the chessboard for like a play to go well. In the NBA, it's 5-on-5. One player can take over a game for an hour and either through scoring or passing. And the crowd can create a groundswell of energy and emotion. And I think that bleeds into the result on the court more than in most sports. And it's like Kevin Garnett for 12 years was the conductor of the arena, basically, right? I mean, from the powder in the air, there's a sort of theatrical nature about it. But he had those fans for 12 years. And in the biggest games, right, standing up on the scores table and pounding his chest and just getting everyone involved in the biggest moments. And Anthony Edwards is the first player since Kevin Garnett to sort of have that. And by the way, like we're sitting here talking about a loss last night. And I'm sure that rubs some people the wrong way, like E. Pemberton on Twitter here. But I actually take away more from that loss last night than I do from a lot of their wins. Like that loss last night showed you and the Denver Nuggets, oh, by the way, we don't need to be anywhere near full strength and we can still punch toe to toe with the best teams in the NBA. And they did it against the other best team too. Remember that game against Boston on the road, a back to back, very similar situation. And they had travel or weather issues. It was a couple months ago and they couldn't fly into Boston until the day of the game. They literally landed in Boston at like noon over lunchtime. Okay, take a quick nap, I guess, and then go to the arena shorthanded. And they had a 9-point lead in the Garden with 3 minutes to go. And of course, they pissed it away with bad shot selection and turnovers. Right. And last night, you could argue like if they would have hit a couple more open shots, you know, they probably should have won that game. They were leading by 3, by 5, maybe at one point late, but like those losses where you show up shorthanded, it's a back-to-back, you're weary. There's like a Wolves culture brewing here, Judd, that sounds kind of crazy because for years and years, Wolves culture was bumbling around. It was whiffing on draft picks. It was blowing 20-point leads, I feel like, was a huge part of the culture. But now, this new Wolves culture, with Anthony Edwards as the headliner, is sort of a all hands on deck. It doesn't matter if Luka Garza is playing 22 minutes. We are going to go toe-to-toe with the best teams in the NBA. Jump on board, everyone.
Which is, it's the equivalent, in my opinion, of a pickup basketball game where there's one guy that played like college ball, and you've got him. And the rest of the team is like me, right? And it doesn't matter. But Ant has that very hard to quantify it factor that I think in several different ways impacts a game like last night. For instance, when he comes out and plays like he played, are the rest of you going to be like, Ant, come on, back to back, baby. Let's not try this, right? Like he might have some dumb decisions at times. I mean, there are certainly things about his game at times to pick apart. That being said, when's the last time that you thought he mailed that game in? Like he just didn't care. Like he's had some off nights and everybody does. But when you are that good, and when you are looking to improve your game that much, and you come to play on a back-to-back against the defending champs last night, and you're pounding your chest, and you're laughing, and you're getting the crowd riled up, and it's sincere. Like, and look, we have seen this insincere. You talk about insincere, Judd, let's talk about insincere athletes. Like, we've seen this, you know, I'm the captain, and it's like, no, you're not. You know, you might be a nice player, but you're not the captain. Nobody's clowning Ant because it's real. And to me, like, think about this for a second. If you're Garza last night, okay, you barely play. You're not a bad player, but you're a fringe player in your league. You are probably a G League star, and you're a fringe player here. And Ant's like, hey, man, let's go. I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there'd be some guys where you'd be like, BS, you don't believe in me, and I don't believe in me, and it ain't going to work. But Ant has that. This is what I've always talked about, Phil, in various sports. You cannot walk into a locker room or clubhouse and say, I'm in charge here, boys. Here's what we're going
to
do.
It has to happen organically. Yeah.
It's the swagger, baby. He's got that swagger. And on top of that, he's just an unbelievable player.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, it is so much fun to watch. And if I'm the Nuggets right now, I'm looking back at last year's playoff series, in which it was only a 5-game series, but man, the Wolves put up a fight in like 4 of those games. Game 1 was an embarrassment, if I remember right, but then the other games were fights.
Right.
And they didn't have Jaden McDaniels or Naz Reid. And then last night, again, no Naz Reid, no Cat, no Gobert. And you're and you can't put this team away. Don't you think something is sitting in the back of their minds? Like, man, if we have to face a full strength Timberwolves team in a 7-game series, I don't think Denver wants that smoke. If I'm Denver and I'm ranking all the team, I want the Wolves to be as far on the other side of that Western Conference bracket as humanly possible. If I'm Denver, I want the 1 seed. I want the Wolves to have the 2 seed, and I don't want to deal with them until the Western Conference finals after last night.
But can you imagine if you do? Can you imagine that series, the potential there?
Oh.
By the way, I have a scouting observation about the Nuggets I'd like to bring up here. Because last night, I mean, they still had Joker was playing, Jamal was playing. Like, they've got a hell of a team, okay?
Here's Porter Jr. was ridiculous last night.
Here's my scouting observation about something that could be exploited in a series against them. They are really intent and good at swinging the ball around. It starts with the Joker, unbelievable passer. But did you notice at times there are definitely tendencies of what they're going to do passing wise, and they can get sloppy? I think with the Wolves defense against that passing, because like you're going to have a coherent 7-game game plan, right? Like that's how you approach a series. Like you have a scouting report, and it's not game to game. It's like, here's what we're going to do. I think you could really fluster Denver in how they like to move the ball, because I saw opportunities there, and the Wolves took them last night, again, without 3 key players, absolutely key players. I think in a series, you could absolutely win the turnover battle, and it could be huge.
Well, the other thing, too, is like last night, Denver obviously had a crazy size advantage because they're already one of the biggest teams in the league, and the Wolves are playing without their 3 tallest players. And I think early on, the first quarter, I was sitting there. I was at the game last night, which I have a quick aside that we'll get to in a second about that. But I was sitting next to our guy, Artis Woods, who, by the way, you may have seen Artis is doing Wolves takes every week on the Score North YouTube channel. So check out if you haven't seen Artis. I think he's done three of them now. Another one coming out tomorrow, Wolves Takes with Artis on the Score North YouTube channel.
Beauty.
And also on the Taxi Squad podcast. But we were sitting there watching the game together in the media row. And at one point, the Nuggets had like a 15-4 rebounding advantage or something. You're like, okay. But that's not, they might have a rebounding advantage in a series still, but it's going to be much more even when you have all hands on deck and you're bringing Nas in with the second unit. And even if you're playing like TJ Warren, who's a little lengthier, and you're playing Monte Morris instead of Jordan McLaughlin, like the Wolves are bigger at full strength by a mile than they were last year without doing Jaden McDaniels lengthy, right? Not a great rebounder, but so that like the rebounding advantage, not going to be the case like it was last night for Denver. And to your point, sure. I think the Wolves size too, just forces Denver into many more contested shots than they're ordinarily going to take. But they still shot, like, I got a text from Jim Pete, actually, who will be back on the podcast tomorrow on Flagrant Howls. Kyle's in Hawaii traveling this week. We'll get the full band back together with everyone next week.
Kyle lives the good life. I'm not going to lie about that.
Kyle and his family love Maui, and I do too. So they're having a good time this week.
Excellent.
But Jim Pete said Denver had to be perfect in the fourth quarter to win. Porter Jr. is a problem, but Denver has to be feeling a little scared after last night. Like, dude, Denver shot 52% from the field, 52% from three, won the rebounding battle 49-37, and almost lost despite the Wolves missing their three star big men.
And as Jim Pete said on the telecast last night, part of the problem was the Wolves, I think he was especially talking about the second half, missed a bunch of uncontested shots.
Yes. In the first half, they missed like five layups.
But guess what? When Cat comes back, he's not going to miss those shots. Like that's the thing. Yes, I think that this would be a marvelous Western Conference final. I think it would be absolutely must-see. Now, it might not be what the TV people want from a market size standpoint, but dude, I think it would be great. Well, and you know what? It would be good basketball. It would be really good basketball. The one thing that I thought that I took away from last night, aside from Ant, that was really a positive, though, is if they can unlock him a bit, it was Jaden McDaniels, 26 points.
Yeah, he's had a couple of these now in the last like 2 weeks. He's had a couple pop up 24, 26 point games. And some of it's just like he's going to get five or six, maybe seven pretty open looks for three, either on the off the wing or in the corner, and he's got to knock those down. But there's a mid-range element to his game, too, where if you look at his career and some of his like shooting splits, he's efficient as a percentage shooter from almost everywhere on the court. But he just goes into these funks where he's either not being aggressive when it's time to be aggressive. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, like, it definitely hurts to not have Cat. But one of the benefits probably the wrong word, but like one of the things that happens when Cat's not here is Jaden, okay, dude, not every night, but once in a while, you're going to need to score like 18 or 20 or 26 points. Mm-hmm. Naz Reid, you're going to play 8 extra minutes and you're going to be a 20-point, 8 rebound, 40% 3-point shooter guy. So to watch some of these other guys out of necessity, hey, Cat's not taking 20 shots here because he's out. Who's going to fill in some of that offense? And you're seeing some of these guys. So, by the way, TJ Warren, another solid 10 minutes last night. They signed him to a second 10-day contract. The guy lit it up in the bubble 4 years ago.
He's a vet,
and then
man.
Just hit a complete bad luck stretch with the foot injury. They're leaning on him for some mm-hmm. key minutes. So,
yeah, I think Jaden, the thing about McDaniels to me, like, is if there is a playoff X factor, it's him. Because Naz knows Naz's role. And like, he might struggle at times. He might do great. But you never sense, like, a mentality change, right? Like, he's always Naz. And he's not, it doesn't feel like he's impacted by, I've got confidence now. Now I don't. Now, sure. Jaden is, in my opinion, the opposite. Jaden, in fact, I think the play I liked the most by Jaden last night, it was the first half, and he had either lost the ball or something had happened, and he got the ball back, and you could see he just said, screw it, and he went up for a dunk. And he's got that strength. Like, he's that player. Yeah. And so it'd be the tough thing for Jaden is, I understand on a normal basis when Gobert is playing and Kat is playing and Nas is back, Jaden probably is not going to be incorporated as much as Jaden would like and should be. But that being said, especially in the playoffs, that mentality has to be overcome with a, you know what, this is my role and I'm playing it no matter what. Because Jaden McDaniels could absolutely, in a long series, like if he gives you two or three games where he can add some spice, right? Because you're going to get the defense, but I'm saying just add a little seasoning here or there. That to me could be one of the most important things for the Wolves.
Roscoe, what do you got?
Biggest takeaway, boys, don't worry or care about who the Timberwolves face in the first round.
Oh, be
just,
careful.
Just don't. No,
what
no,
do
no.
What do you mean? Be more specific here.
Be careful.
So this is, I love what you talked about, Phil, Anthony Edwards and the new Minnesota Timberwolves culture. If there's a new Minnesota Timberwolves culture, whether there's a team you fear more than another team, it doesn't matter. This roster has showed time and time again, yes, they have nights off. Newsflash, everybody does in professional sports. They left last night in their heads thinking Denver will see you in May and June. They know it. They know it. Now, granted, you still have to put in the work and do it. But think about what this team accomplished. Again, just one game. I'll admit that. But think about what they did last night. Anthony Edwards took the opening tap. Not saying he can't jump, but he shouldn't be taking the tip off. Right.
Well, but that's, you look at the lineup, though.
That's how down they were last night. Because
Luka Garza was not starting.
Kyle was
for
on
them.
The floor.
But Anthony Edwards jumps higher than Kyle Anderson. So it was kind of between Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels who would take the opening tip.
And can do what he wants, Roscoe.
I just think naturally, yes, the Wolves should want to win as many games down the stretch because I do believe the higher seed, the better. And you never truly know what you're going to get, who you're going to face in the play-in. Sometimes there's really good teams in the play-in. I get that. The Kings have played the Timberwolves very well this year. So have the Pelicans. I get that. But guys, you're going to have to beat good teams in the playoffs. Everody knows that. Don't worry about it. Play okay, who you but, play, but, and but I think this team's good enough.
When you say don't worry about it, though, I thought you meant like, oh, they're gonna walk over whoever they play in the first round.
And
the way the Western Conference is shaping up right now, and I know what I've said about the Warriors, and the Wolves are going to play the Warriors here in a few days, right, on this homestand. The Warriors have figured some stuff out. The Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, after getting benched and now brought back into the mix, is playing one of the best stretches of basketball he's played for the Lakers, and they have LeBron and AD. So I was a little too haughty like a month ago. There's some teams that you could run into in the first round, even if you get the one or the two seed, that are going to be problematic in a seven-game series. The Western Conference is going to be a gauntlet.
Absolutely.
Starting in mid-April.
I just think if you're talking about this new culture that I think everybody's starting to believe in, then you don't care who your opponent is. You play who you play. You match up, you throw the ball in the air, and you go after it, and you win the series. And
it's
I
like
think
the heat. It's sort of heat culture-esque, right?
I think this team is good enough to do that. Some teams will probably push them farther than other teams, but I genuinely do if they're healthy. There is another thing that comes into play here, boys, and we see this all the time, and I want to get your thoughts on this. As guys come back, it's not always seamless. You have to start integrating them back into the rotation and getting them their touches. And then, Phil, to your point, Jaden McDaniels will get less touches. That's probably fine. But it's not as simple as just plug everybody back in and go. Typically, there's a bit of a I don't want to call it a welcome back period. But does that worry you guys that a lot of that will happen late in the season into the playoffs? Because that's tough on a coach and that is tough on a team. That is the one caveat to my play who you play and figure it out.
I'm actually more concerned about Kat's knee. Just the process, like a meniscus is not to be dismissed as, oh, it's fixed, it's fine. I'm worried about Kat's knee, and I'm curious about Gobert's ribs, because ribs are a tricky thing, and we don't really know what's wrong there. I'm not concerned that it's not going to take much time, in my opinion, to get them going once they plug back in, unless they come back and they're still slowed. That's my bigger concern.
My biggest concern actually is when Kat comes back, I think it needs to be very on the Gobert front real quick. I was there for pregame warmups, and I was sort of sitting courtside watching Anthony Edwards with the finger wrap warm up, and Rudy Gobert went through like a 20-minute workout too with the trainers. I thought he was going to play based on the workout. I mean, he was doing everything within like 15 feet of the basket, getting a lather in. And I think he's close. It didn't seem like he's in some like debilitative state. Mm-hmm. I think it was probably 50-50 and they just decided it's a back-to-back. Let's look at the long view here. On the cat front, to me, it's more of a strategic integration. I think he's going to come back and he's still going to be a shooter, right? He might need a couple games to knock off the rust. But we've talked about this on some of the episodes the last couple months. And Jake Painting from Howls and Growls YouTube channel did a great breakdown of Cat's strengths and weaknesses. He leans into post-ups and dribble drives way more than he should. He's a negative value player in those instances. And so, like, they feed him the ball in the post, and he doesn't do a great job of passing out of it. He turns the ball over in post-ups and drives. But when he is a catch-and-shoot three-point man, and when he is the pick-and-roll man coming downhill, get out of the way, tomahawk, dunk, right? He's an unstoppable force. So I think he should be shooting like 8 to 10 threes a game. He should be swapping out a handful of dribble drives and post-ups for just spacing out. Maybe it's in the corner sometimes, top of the key. There's probably some ego in play here too, where he feels like he's got the skill set to dribble drive because he can handle, right, for a 7-footer. But whether it's Finch or Cat, when he comes back, spacing and 3-point shooting is what's going to take this offense from 17th or 16th in efficiency up into the top 10. And he's the one that can unlock it if you move away from some of the stuff that he does poorly and into the stuff that he does well. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. By the way, a quick anecdote after we shout out a couple partners. I had almost a really regrettable moment last night that reminded me of another instance from 10 years ago that I will run by you. But a shout out to a couple friends here on Flagrant House, a couple supporters. Modest Brewing, right near Target Center in the North Loop, Minneapolis. A great spot for a pregame beverage before you watch the Timberwolves battle these Western Conference teams. Also a new event space at Modest. We had a chance to check it out like a year ago as they were building it, but it is perfect for parties between 40 and 120 people. Could be corporate parties, happy hours, birthday parties, wedding, bachelor, bachelorette, whatever it is. There's a private entrance, a private bar, great view overlooking the brewery, fully tricked out AV setup too. It's just a great customized space that they've built at Modest Brewing. So check it out, close to Target Center. And once again, a great place to grab a drink, grab a beer before a Timberwolves game, modestbrewing.com. And a shout out to our friends over at First Equity Mortgage. So David at First Equity has been a 20-year Timberwolves and Lynx season ticket holder. You might even see him roaming around some of these games here down the stretch at Target Center. I had an amazing experience refinancing my home with David over at First Equity about 7 years ago. And I've counted that 20 of my friends and coworkers have also worked with First Equity Mortgage with home loans or refinances. They work fast. They are local. They have a great reputation in the community here in the Twin Cities. And you can find out more about First Equity at femort.com. That's femort.com or scornorth.com. Keyword David. So Judd, 10, 12 years ago, actually this happened twice. In 2009, I left the Jason Kubel cycle game where he hit a grand slam to complete the cycle against the Angels. I left that game in about the sixth inning.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
The Kevin Love 30-30 game against the Knicks in like 2011 or 2012, I left that game at halftime because the Wolves were losing and like, I don't know, Kevin Love had like 9 points, 8 rebounds. Left that game early. My plan yesterday, all throughout the day, was I'm going to go to the first half, hang out with our guy Artis, and then I got a bunch of stuff to do. My wife's going out of town. Like, I'm going to watch the first half and then just go back home and watch the second half.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if it's a great game, then I'll give myself the leeway to stay for the second half. They were down by like 17 points at one point in the second quarter. No Nas, no Cat, no Rudy. It's like a 13-point game at halftime. And I'm like, all right, yeah, pretty safe. I think I'm safe leaving this game. You know, they put up a good fight. They showed that they were not going to be pushed over.
Right.
I got home and it was a 3-point game. An artist is hitting me up like, dude.
Oh, no.
You might regret this.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say that you did stay. I left
that game last night at halftime.
Oh,
I was watching at home. Like, I wanted them to win, obviously. But I'm like, oh, man, if Anthony Edwards hits this 3 to tie it and they go to overtime, it'll be in the top 3 of regrettable instances where I've left a game. But they lost. Man, and so hurt. I feel like, all right, they lost.
So you felt vindicated.
A little bit vindicated.
Moral victory for you and the team.
I think this is a great topic for you boys, though. What is I think you have to view it differently for regular season and postseason, but what is the proper protocol for, let's say somebody offers you tickets, okay? They're going to give you tickets, but, oh, I got to get home because I have to do this. What is the proper protocol to either take the tickets and know you're going to leave early or just not take the tickets at all?
I think you take the tickets. I mean, you take the tickets.
Yeah,
I think in the regular season you do. I really do. Playoffs, I think you need to stay for the entire game. As I've gotten older, gentlemen, I've learned a little bit about life. I used to criticize people that would leave a baseball game early. Now, granted, this was also back in the day when they all took 4 hours. But now, as I've gotten older, I'm like, whatever. It's your own time.
I leave games early a lot, especially baseball.
Leave
games.
Whenever you want.
Yeah, as a kid, I never did. Now I do.
Yeah. Well, I did. Someone called me on this last night because I was sitting media row just like behind Dane Moore and Johnny K.
Did you get booed as you left?
I did sneak out. You know, the legions of fans that hate me, all the Kirk Crusaders, were unable to see me sneak out, I guess.
Yeah, but I moved to Atlanta.
I tweeted out like, you know, Target Center absolutely packed tonight. The Wolves putting on one of their most inspired efforts of the season. Incredible. They have a chance to win. And somebody responded, too bad there's one less media member here to watch the second half.
Oh, wow.
You got me.
Love it.
You're exposed there. It's not like a press box where they really can't tell if you're there or not because it's sort of hidden, especially for the Wild. Yeah, you are like right front and center.
Yeah, it's not like Williams Arena, Phil, where they stick you in Roseville.
Nope. It's I love how Williams Arena over the years, it's been like media was courtside for a long time. And then, we're going to move you up to like, it'll be center court, but you'll just be up above the front row. Now it's like you're up in the corner behind pillars. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. So anyways, a great moral victory last night for the Timberwolves. That's the moral of this podcast today, boys.
Last question. Are we going to get some type of poster of the Ant Dunk against the Jazz a couple nights ago?
I would hope so. Yes.
I think you'll be seeing that at your favorite sporting goods store pretty soon.
Now, are posters still a thing or is it like fat heads now that they do?
Like, I think posters are back.
You frame them up. Back. Yeah.
Okay.
Get Anthony Edwards to sign about 200.
That's
sell them for $500.
That'd be a great poster.
I think that would look good right next to my KG Slam magazine cover.
Actually would. Yeah. Just hanging back there. Beautiful.
Jim Pete back on the podcast tomorrow. Flagrant Howls, a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.